Hi, and welcome to Finding Your Way Through Therapy, a proud member of the Sitecraft Network. The goal of this podcast is to demystify therapy, what can happen in therapy, and the wide array of conversations you can have in and about therapy. Through personal experiences, guests will talk about therapy, their experiences with it, and how psychology and therapy are present in many places in their lives, with lots of authenticity and a touch of humor. Here is your host, Steve Bisson.
GetFree.ai. Yes, you've heard me talk about it previously in other episodes, but I'm going to talk about it again because GetFree.ai is just a great service. Imagine being able to pay attention to your clients all the time. Instead of writing notes and making sure that the note's going to sound good and how are you going to write that note and things like that. GetFree.ai liberates you from making sure that you're writing what the client is saying because it is keeping track of what you're saying and will create after the end of every session a progress note. But it goes above and beyond that. Not only does it create a progress note, it also gives you suggestions for goals, gives you even a mental status if you've asked questions around that, as well as being able to write a letter for your client to know what you talked about. So that's the great thing. It saves me time, it saves me a lot of aggravation, and it just speeds up the progress note process so well. And for $99 a month, I know that that's nothing. That's worth my time. That's worth my money. You know, the best part of it too is that if you want to go and put in the code Steve50 when you get the service, at the checkout code is Steve50, you get $50 off your first month. And if you get a whole year, you save a whole 10% for the whole year. So again, Steve50 at checkout for getfree.ai will get you $50 off for the first month. And like I said, get a full year, get 10% off. Get freed from writing notes, get freed from always scribbling while you're talking to a client, and just paying attention to your client. So they win out, you win out, everybody wins. And I think that this is the greatest thing. And if you're up to a point where you got to change a treatment plan, well, the goals are generated for you. So getfree.ai, code Steve50 to save $50 on your first month. J'aime toujours cette introduction. I love this introduction. Hi, and welcome to episode 147. If you haven't listened to episode 146, it was the second part of a two-part interview with Catherine Branca. If you go back and listen to the second part, listen to the first part. It's really good. We talk about first responders, that it will be, by the time this comes out, second or third session of already going on. And the needs of first responders, which is very different. And also how we want to move from just the trauma response. And what I mean by that, you need to go listen to. But episode 147 will be on something that I'm called imposter syndrome. A lot of people have inquired about imposter syndrome. And I think I know one of the root causes, but I'll get to it a little later on when we're talking. But, you know, what is it? And let's start off with just a definition. I like to give a definition. This is from different sources. So if you tell me where I got it from APA. I got it from the NIH, the National Institute of Health, but a little bit of AI who helped me out. But it's an internal feeling of self-doubt despite evidence of competence and accomplishment. That is a combo of many, many things, and this is the best way to do it. In other words, you don't feel worthy, you know. We talk about different times where we feel that way, and I think that what happens is that, you know, a lot of people have this fear of failure. When you have a fear of failure, you kind of want to be, you know, you feel like an imposter, right? So you succeed, but it's not your success. Or if you do succeed, it's luck. But ultimately, it's realizing too that it comes from, you know, feeling like a fraud. And I think a lot of people feel like a fraud in their jobs, right? And what I mean by that is this, you know, I've been doing this podcast for close to 3 years. I've been a therapist for 20 years, worked in the mental health field for 25, and I still feel I don't know everything. And so if someone asks me, like, you know, some things, and I can't think of anything right now. Obviously, there's a lot I don't know. So if I don't know about it, I can't really come up with it. But if someone asks me about a technique I've never heard about, I'll say, I don't know. That's how you address part of the imposter syndrome, but we'll get to how to address it. But I think that we're so afraid of it that we just don't say to, hey, we don't know. Overworking is another symptom. So basically people who like to do a lot of work so that they can show that they're successful financially, they're successful in their job, they're successful in what they do. That's kind of how they address it, by overdoing everything. And, you know, that's another symptom of it. And feeling unworthy, whether it's love, whether it's work, whether it's at home. Oh, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I know that that comes off sometimes as a, what do you call it, being humbled and all that. No, that's just, that can be very much so imposter syndrome, because you don't feel that you're worthy because of different things. And that's not fair to you, but just reminding yourself that you are worthy. You do deserve it. And all those things is very important, but we'll get there and then we'll continue working on the other part too. The causes. This is always the other part too, is that let's blame the parents, right? And at the end of the day, yes, we will blame a little bit of the parents. And what it means by that is that, you know, if you ever get negative feedback as a child to the point where you feel like you're inadequate for them, you feel unable to do things. So, you know, I see that a lot, particularly people who have high achieving families in regards to doing, you know, school achievements in particular. You know, there's a lot of ways you can address that. But, you know, if kids feel inadequate to you, that's difficult for them to ever show their worthiness, because you control their worthiness. When you get mad at them, they don't get mad at you. They get mad at themselves. And, you know, that pushes a lot of imposter syndrome stuff, in my opinion, but, you know, this is also a lot of research. High expectations, people who have high standards. You know, I have nothing against high standards. I mean, I think that's important. That's why I work hard on getting this podcast to sound as professional as I can, with professional music, professional lighting, everything else. Well, you know, as a small podcast can do, right? So if you want to go to YouTube, you'll see the lighting is exceptional. But at the end of the day, I think that that's part of it, is that you can have high standards, but if you don't meet them all the time, it's okay. But when you have imposter syndrome, I'll never meet those high expectations, those high standards. And that's why you'll never be good enough. And that's why we're imposters, right? And do I think that I'm the best podcaster in the world? No, but I do try my best. But if I don't get to be the best podcaster in the world, I'll live with myself. It's a little bit of a way, we're giving you a little bit of a solution focus here, but I wanted to kind of address it. The complete, you know, competitive work environment. So we've gone to work at home, not everyone, but a lot of us. But also, like, if you go in certain jobs, particularly, you know, I think about sales as being a culprit of that. And I'm not pushing anyone to go to say, oh my God, the salespeople are horrible. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that sales, like if Jenny sells blank and Johnny sells blank, and there's a number that's higher than the other, bow, you're going to start competing with them. But if you have a boss who encourages that, that creates an environment where you feel like an imposter at all the time. Because if you have a month where you sell 12 and you usually 4, if you have a boss that pushes you, you did 12 already, do 12 next month, or at least 12, because I mean, you can do it, right? That's the competitive environment that really fucks with people's heads and makes them feel like imposters on a regular basis. So this is, you know, when I look at root causes, bosses, hear me out. And I hope that that makes sense. As far as the other one, this is the real culprit, in my opinion. This is where imposter syndrome is absolutely the biggest problem. And I know that everyone points to them, and there is good about it. But at the end of the day, when I think about the biggest cause in recent years is social media. And what it is with social media is that we get a glimpse of someone's life for about 1 second, if they do a video, 60 seconds, and how happy they are, how they have a great relationship with their spouse, their sister, their son, their daughter, whatever. And, you know, you don't know if they fought right before that. You don't know if they're just having a good day. Or is this just an act? We can all act, right? And I think that what happens is we compare ourselves. And with the comparison of social media, we tend to look at it as a way, well, I'm not doing as well as Jenny. I'm not doing as well as Johnny. So you pick on all the Jennies and Johnnies in the world. But, you know, just easy names. And Jen is not exactly a rare name. And Johnny's not exactly a rare name either. But and the algorithm also makes sure that you feel inadequate too, right? When you think about it, the algorithm will go back to what you shows. So basically, if you're looking for XYZ about someone who wears this or someone who says certain things, well, I can't do that. I'm not at their level, or I can't wear that. I'm not at their level. or what have you. And then it creates an imposter syndrome if you try to do it and you're like, oh, I did it, but they don't know how much this sucks or what have you. Or I didn't pull it off as well as Johnny and Jenny. So there's a lot of comparison that happens with social media. I don't want to blame social media solely. There's a lot of things too. We talked about the parents. And I think that with parents too, I forgot to mention in the causes of it's the parenting in school too, right? Because if when you have a parent that tells a child, you need to have the best grades all the time. Well, that causes an imposter syndrome because sometimes they feel like they have to cheat sometimes to do it. And believe me, I've had those conversations in sessions. They also feel like if they bring up a bad grade, and sometimes a bad grade for some people is B+. And I know if you, some of you watched The Big Bang Theory, you know, Sheldon would never accept that. But at the end of the day, B+ isn't that bad. But for some parents, it's like, well, no, you didn't try hard enough. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And there's a lot of accusations. And then you feel inadequate. You feel like an imposter and so on and so forth. So now I gave you all the causes and the issues. So we blame work. We blame mom and dad. And we blame social media. So there's not much left, right? But maybe we can address it and look at different things that you can do. And one of the things that you can do is recognize those feelings. You know, for a long time, as a therapist, I was mentored by great people, but I also knew in my head that I would never get to that level. But, you know, people would always compliment me for X, Y, Z. And I mean, like, yeah, but I'm not as good as blank. And that's a comparison thing. And it's also recognizing those feelings that I'll never be good enough. I'm sharing a personal story because I feel like when you guys hear my personal stories, you feel a little better about having to disclose your own. And I think that this is where we got to be a little more vulnerable, but I wanted to share that one. CBT is one of my favorite techniques, as some of you know, and one of my favorite CBT techniques is to reframe your thoughts. And how do we reframe thoughts when we're having imposter syndrome, right? So the thing I would say to you is this. When we feel like we're not as good as, but are you better than 50% of people? Are you better than 20% of the people? Are you better than 70% of the people? Whatever. Realizing that possibly there's nothing that will be as high as the people you may be comparing yourself to. But at the end of the day, it's also realizing that that's okay. So one of the things that I've shared with my clients is that whoever listens to this and says, wow, the guy's full of, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm not the best therapist in the world, but I probably rank in the top 85%. So that's pretty good. So there's 15% that are higher than me, so to speak. And that's okay, because that means it gives me something to aim for. And people say, well, that's, you know, either that's, call me cocky, I'm fine with that. But knowing that there's 15%, don't you want to get there? I'm like, yeah, I do. But one of the things I once heard, and it was in the sports analogy, and I can't remember who said it. I always attribute it to Tom Brady, but truthfully, I can't say off the top of my head who said it. But when you get to the top, there's only one place to go, and that's down. You can't go any higher. So being the highest is not always the best. So when you reframe that thought about being, you know, always needing to be the best, that means once you get there, the only place you can go is down. So I'll take my 15th place, or I'll take my 60th place. I'll still aim for higher, and I'll aim to learn, and I'll aim to not have an ego in regards to that, because that's the other part too, is if you see that you have something you can grow to, you can be, oh, great, I can grow. That doesn't mean perfect. That doesn't mean you're not as good as you think you are. But if you're able to say you can grow, that really helps. Seek support. I hear that a lot in therapy. You know, they feel like a bad parent. They feel like a bad worker. They feel like a bad whatever. And you come to therapy and we have a conversation about it. And that's important. And I think having people like either therapists, having friends, having someone who understands that, I think that that's all important to do. So that's what I say about seek support. And normalize failure. One of the things I've learned is that, you know, and I'm sure you've heard an inspirational quote. And if you haven't, you know, I can't remember all the names, but, you know, among others, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, founder of Microsoft and Apple, respectively, they dropped out of high school and they dropped out of college, depending on the person. And there's a lot of people like that. Those are the two that come to mind. And they've done okay for themselves, right? They have companies that are very, very rich. And I know Steve Jobs is no longer of this world, but I think that that's one of the things that, you know, he regretted in one point too, to say, you know, I wish, you know, it didn't work so hard sometimes. But at the end of the day, you don't need to see every failure as the worst thing in the world. I even tell my girls when I coach soccer, but we learn more from a loss than we do from a win. When we win, we think we did everything right, so it's okay. But if you learn from your losses, then that's really the key, and that's okay to lose, and it's okay to be there. Do I want to lose? As the girls know, I always say I like to win better than losing. But at the same time, I can't let go of a learning experience when that occurs. Celebrate achievements too. So when you achieve, instead of saying, well, that's not high enough, or that's not good enough, or that's not blank enough, maybe just celebrate it. Be happy that you achieved whatever you wanted, whether it's underwater basket weaving or what have you. I'm just saying something like, hey, you know, I'm the best in the Tri-Valley area. I'm the best underwater basket weaver. I achieved that. Well, I'm not the best in the state. Who cares? You won the Tri-Valley. Who cares? Celebrate those small achievements. I think that that's what, and it's not small achievements. I shouldn't have said that, but it's definitely achievements and realizing to have that. And, you know, avoid negative people. One of the things that negative people do is they bring you down. And what they do is they take your success and say, yeah, but it's not as good as Jenny Johnny. Or what about, you know, what are you going to do when they come back and ask for more? Or have you really, when there's new research, are you going to be stuck because you can't learn more or whatever? Negative people just put you down. You achieve, you know, whatever you want in life. The negative people will find ways to find that achievement and turn it on its head and say, yep, not good enough. So just realize that and, you know, embracing vulnerability. That's the hardest thing I did in my podcasting career is that I've decided to be vulnerable on this podcast and it's out there. I'm also vulnerable in my personal life. I'm vulnerable in many places. So that way people know I'm human and that's okay to be human. So I think it's important to continue to show that human side. And hopefully, you know, being vulnerable is okay and showing that most people are feeling like they need to get better and all that. And vulnerability is hard. But at the same time, happy to hear that vulnerability is still around. So I hope this made sense. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, again, always good if you're on YouTube to click and subscribe and like this video. I always appreciate that. Also, if you are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and any platform, frankly, if you can review me, give me a good 5-star review if you feel like it, that would be great. And also always great to hear from you. I get a few emails here and there, and I really appreciate those. So I hope to hear from you guys soon. But looking up to episode 148, this is another little bit of conversation that we're going to have that this is another little pet project of mine, only children's stuff. My co-host Courtney Romanowski is back. She's going to be running this with me because she's an only child. Returning guest Jen Nakai from about 2 years ago, roughly, maybe no, not that much, a year ago. She will be back. She's an only child too. And Brody Klemmer, who is also an only child, he's going to be joining us. So I hope you just come and listen to us then. And I appreciate your time.
Please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast on your favorite platform. A glowing review is always helpful. And as a reminder, this podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. If you're struggling with a mental health or substance abuse issue, please reach out to a professional counselor for consultation. If you are in a mental health crisis, call 988 for assistance. This number is available in the United States and Canada.